Okay, Chevra, we are learning Yerideya. We are up to Simen Pei Zayin Se'if Hei. Now, Simen Pei Zayin Se'if Hei is an isolated topic, but it does connect to the broader topic. The broader topic is, of course, how am I Magdir Basar and how am I Magdir Cholav? No? Right? We spoke about what's Bishul, we spoke about what's Hana'ah. Now the question is, what is meat? And we always think that, okay, chicken is meat, I got that, even though there's a pasuk v'esha oflo basar, but the pashtus is that we don't paskin like that pasuk because it's chumash, but we paskin that chicken has a din of meat, but nonetheless, we also paskin that eggs are pariv. Nishama tasha ela, why is that, and at what stage in the egg process does the egg become pariv? In other words, the way eggs develop is as follows. The way eggs develop is that in the equivalent of like the ovaries of the animal, of the chicken, let's say, so you have an egg. The egg first grows and it develops what is called a chelmon first. The chelmon is the yolk. Then, as it gets older, the egg develops a chelbon. The chelbon is the white. And then the egg develops a shell. The shell is first soft and then it hardens. Now, at some point in time, the egg separates itself from the shlal shel beitzim. Right? At the beginning of the development of the egg, it is attached to the shlal shel beitzim, but it separates over time. And that time of separation can be earlier or later, and there's a great variety in when eggs separate from the shlal shel beitzim, and hence we have the question, which is at what point in the development of the egg does it become pariv? Meaning, at what point does it take on its independent identity as being different than the chicken? That is the discussion here in Pei Zayin Se'if Hei. Zach?
What's the sidra?
What?
Sidra.
You have to speak louder. I'm done.
The sidra, what is the sidra referring to?
What is?
Shedra?
The shedra is, again, the shlal shel beitzim is attached to like some sort of bone in the
Usually shedra means spine.
Well, usually it means spine. I don't think it means spine, just like anatomically speaking. I think it means that there's a bone that goes through the chicken and the ovaries are attached to that bone. Well, the rough equivalent. Again, I'm trying to do the best I can in terms of understanding this. Now, there is a machlekes hatanoim in Beitza Daf Zayin Omer Aleph, but it's really a continuation of the Gemara in Beitza Daf Vav Amid Beis. The Tana Kama in Beitza Daf Zayin Omer Aleph tells me, the way we have the Girsa, that Hashokhet is Hatanagolas, and what's about Beitzim Gemuros, Mutaris La'ochlan B'cholov. If it's a complete egg, it's mutar to eat it. Reb Yaakov says that if it's Me'uros Begidin, it's Asar. And the pashtus in this Gemara is that Reb Yaakov is being more machmir than the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama says that once it's a Beitza Gemura, it is Pariv. Reb Yaakov says if it's a Beitza Gemura, but it still is Me'ura, it still is attached to the Shlal, then it's going to be Fleishik. That's the pashtus. Now, this, the pashtus also is lahalacha, that you have a machlekes between the Tana Kama and Reb Yaakov, that you should paskin like the Tana Kama. That is basic Judaism. And then we'd have to just figure out, right, what does Beitza Gemura mean? In other words, lahalacha, it would seem that we hold like a Tana Kama, so whether it's Me'ura Begidin or not is immaterial. The only issue at hand is whether it is a Beitza Gemura. And once I'm working in this world, so I have three different shitos as to what's a Beitza Gemura. Shita 1 is the shita of Rashi in Beitza Daf Vav Amid Beis. Rashi writes, Beitim Gemuros is even without a shell, as long as you have the chelmon that is gomor. And even though it's Me'ura Begidin, that is a Beitza Gemura. Right? In other words, we reject the Yaakov. And as long as the chelmon is complete, as long as it's a complete yoke, which is the earliest stage in development. Rashi is the earliest stage. The Rashba in the Torah's Habayis, Shar Gimel, Perek Gimel, it's on Ayin Hey Amid Beis in the Torah's Habayis. The Rashba over there writes that in his opinion, Beitza Gemura means you have a chalmon and a chalvon. Right? A white and a yolk. But you don't need the shell. That's what the Rashba says. So there is an in-between sheet of the Beis Yosef quotes one position that you need chalmon, chalbon, and a krum. The krum is like if you ever peeled an egg, there's like a whitish thing, like a soft shell. No? So that would be the krum. That sheet does not seem to get any traction whatsoever. The fourth shita, right? The Beis Yosef quotes somebody, I forgot who, right? That's like an oddball shita. The fourth shita is the shita of the Rashbam. The Rashbam is quoted in the Mordechai in Beitza, and the Rashbam is actually quoted also in the Kobetz Mefarshim of on Maseches Beitza. They, or the Kobetz Rishonim it's called. On Beitza, they have the Chidushim of the Talmud HaRamban. And it seems to me that's like the best presentation of this fourth Shita. The fourth Shita is the Shita of the Rashbam. And the Rashbam says it's only called a Beitza Gemura when it is mamish, a complete egg. When it is a chelmon, chelbon, and a complete eggshell. That's the only time it is parid, even though it is still attached. Now, the Rashbam, however, says something a little different. The Rashbam writes... It was the Rashbam, but now I mean a little to be more precise within the Rashbam. Like if you read the Rashbam as presented in the Talmidim of the Ramban, and the Dogo Merivava over here actually notes this. So what would emerge is that Rabbi Yaakov is saying a kula. No? Until now, we have been saying that the Tanakama holds it, a Beitza Gemura is okay, and is Pariv. And Rabbi Yaakov says that if it's Me'ura Begidin, it remains Fleishik. In other words, Rabbi Yaakov is saying a Chumrah. But according to the Rashbam's approach, and this is Beferish in that Talmidei HaRamban, and the Dogo Merivav, I think, was just Mechaven to it on his own. According to the Rashbam's approach, the Tanakhama is saying, if you have a complete egg, it's parak, complete being, chelmon, chelbon, and hard shell, complete. If that's the case, that's parak, even though it's attached. Reb Yaakov comes, and Reb Yaakov says, you know what, it has nothing to do with whether it's a Beitza Gemura. All it has to do with is whether it's attached. In other words, if it's detached from the shalal, that's pariv, even if it's not gemura. No? That's what emerges according to the Rashbam's Mahalach in the Gemara, which is actually going to be somewhat interesting. Oh. Now, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? So, not an easy question, because the Mechaber says something. There's also another Mechaber in an area called Hilchos Melicha that we'll have to, or another, that's actually a Ramah in Hilchos Melicha. And then there's also a Mechaber in Pei Vav, relating to the Eivor Min HaChai aspect. But just here in Basar V'Cholov, so the Mechaber paskins straight like the Rashba. That it's considered pariv once it's an egg of Once it's an egg that has a chalmon and chalbon, then it's pariv, end of conversation. Vishach decides to make life a little more complicated for us. And the Shach writes that fundamentally there are three levels. There's l'chatchila, there is b'diyevet, and there is b'diyevet b'makim hefsa meruba. No? In other words, the Shach says that the l'chatchila din, which is based on, in some ways, the minhag hanoshim. The minhag hanoshim was, and the Maharil has this, the minhag hanoshim was that they would not treat any egg as pariv unless it has chalmon, chalbon, and a hard shell. No? Even though Shulchan Aruch Paskens like the Rashba, that chalmon, chalbon is enough, the minhag developed to treat it more seriously. You need chalmon, chalbon, and hard shell.
Not connected.
In the Shach, that's what would emerge. But that's like for a different reason, because the Shach also plays with certain Shitos who pass them like Reb Yaakov. But just hold that for a few minutes, because it'll confuse us, no? So the Iker Hadin, in the sense of what people do, is they try to be machmir for the Rashba. However, b'diyeved, once, and the b'diyeved means that once it was cooked with milk, so then we will say, as long as there is chalmon and chalbon, it is okay, like what Shulchan Aruch says is the main din. B'diyeved b'makayim hefsin meruba, you could rely on the Rashi, because Rashi is not alone. You have a Tosis, you have a Rush, as a Rabbi Neiruch, and there are a few Rishonim who sound like Rashi, and therefore, as long as you have a chalmon alone, it's going to be okay. B'diyeved sheba b'diyeved b'makayim hefsin meruba. That's what emerges from the Shach's presentation. Now, the bayer of this minhag is really interesting. Now, why would it be that l'cha'ayra, the Rashba is probably correct? Haraya, the Rashba is correct, because the Rashbam has to totally flip the entire Gemara. Right? We point out that according to the Rashbam, Rabbi Yaakov is saying a kula, not a chumra. So it's like the opposite of like all of Judaism. Nonetheless, the minhag developed to paskin like the Rashbam. And the Rav explained in his shiurim that the hesber for this is as follows. The hesber is, the Bali HaTosis on Bava Mebeis ask Akasha. The Mishnah in Idios writes that Beitzas Nevela, right, is a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Meaning, Beis Shammai says that it's only going to be mutter if it's klipasa nim, if it's kamoha nimkeres b'shok, if it's a type of egg that's sold in the marketplace. Now, an egg that's sold in the marketplace is an egg with a full klipa, no? So that Gemara is so sar our Gemara, because our Gemara says Beitza Gemura is parif. So Frek Taisvis, what's the din? Is it that you need Kamoha Nimkeres B'shok? Or are we saying that as long as it's a Beitza Gemura, it's considered not attached to the animal? No? The Shailan Idios is you have a Beitza's Nevela, a Beitza from an animal that's shechted, a chicken is shechted, and it's shechted bad, and you find an egg inside. By the way, it's not like this never happens. Years ago, when I used to oversee the Contemporary Halacha program here in Yeshiva, so we used to go once or twice a year, depending on my mood, we would go to do shechitas. Because Rav Salvechik, the friend of Rav, felt that everybody in Smicha has to know the basic workings of Shita. So we would go to a place right over the White Stone Bridge, and Rav Ben Chaim would meet us over there, and Rav Ben Chaim would do Shita. By the way, Rav Ben Chaim is the only person I've ever seen in this world who buttons his jacket button before he shechts. When you think about it, that's like an amazing thing. Okay, but that's so one time on one of these Shechita trips, so usually I'd ask Rav Ben Chaim to shecht a big animal, a sheep or a calf, and he would show us Nikur Hagid, he'd show us Chelov D'Oraisa, Chelov D'Rabbanan, and it was gewaldic. But we also would shecht lots of chickens. Why? Because it's fun. And Rav Ben Chaim would also take the guys who were learning Shechita with him. Rav Ben Chaim gives a Kabbalah for Shechita. Also, Yeshiva used to give a Kabbalah for Shechita. And they still do. Rabbi Leike teaches the class. But it used to come out that when you finish the course, you would get a piece of paper that said Diploma for Chickens. Which is amazing. That, like, oh, I graduated college. What degree do you have? Diploma for Chickens. Right? Okay. But when we shechted a bunch of the chickens one time, so David Roth, you guys know him? He was here in Yeshiva for a while. He actually was around last week. He like does work on Piyut and stuff. He's now in Israel. So David Roth is on that trip, and he decided he wanted a particular chicken. So they shecht the chicken. David Roth is going to take it home. He'll do malicha on it and eat it. And he finds inside the chicken a big egg. A beitza gemura. So I asked all the guys, okay, Chevra, who learned Yerideya? Is this egg Pariv or Fleshik? Beitza gemura, with a shell. What's it in? With a shell. That's the case that's Pariv. That's the case that's Pariv. A beitza gemura with a shell is mamish Pariv. Gevaldik, beautiful, amazing. Now, it happens, it happens. So what's the pshat, though? That the minhag is that we treat any egg without a complete egg, we treat it like it's fleishig. That lechayra is against the Shulchan Aruch. How come we're machmir? So the answer that the Rav gave is as follows. Tosis asks Akasha. On the one hand, we have a Gemara, a Mishnah in Idyos that says that's only going to not be a Beitzas Nevela when it's Kamohanim Karis Peshuk, which means it has a shell. On the other hand, our Gemara sounds like once it's Chobon and Chomon, it is going to be okay. So Taisa's answer is, in our Gemara, we're only Mako because we're talking about Basarif Becholov, which is Midrabanon. But for Beitzas Nevela, which is a Din Dei Raisa, that Yiltzim in a Tomei is Tomei, so therefore we have to be more Machmir. So for Doiraisos were Machmir, for Drabonans were Mekon. Says Rav Soloveitchik, it could be that the Minhag HaNoshim is based on the fact that they treated Basar Oif Becholov like a Doiraisa. Right? Remember, we saw a Tosfos in the Sugya of Ha'ala, right, on Daf Kuf Dalet. Tosfos asks Akasha, we spoke about this in Shir one time, how come Kol HaBasar, you're not allowed to have Cholov on the table with it? Why not? Right? Wouldn't that be like a gezerah legezerah? Right? Halah is a gezerah, and basar oif itself is a gezerah. So Tosis answers, maybe we paskin that basar oif b'cholov is deraisa. And we saw in the shach quoted from the Maharshal that the Maharshal paskins this way, like in Se'if Gimel, right? At the beginning of Se'if Gimel. So the Shach quoted from the Maharshal. The Maharshal holds that Basar Oif B'cholov is the Oraisa. In deference to that Shita, that Basar Oif B'cholov is the Oraisa, so the Minhag HaNoshim developed that they would not eat any egg unless it's Mamish a Beitza Gemura, even with the Klipa HaChitzona. Right? They would never treat an egg as Pariv unless it has a Klipa HaChitzona. That is the way the Rav said that Shita. Okay, nice. It happens that it's an often a Bach over here. I don't know why in Rabbi Konigsberg's Shiurim he's not mitzayin this, but if you look in the Bach in Ar Se'if, the Dibur HaMaskos Gula Inyan Halacha, the Bach says that Befevish. I mean, And that's a mainstream shita. Tosfos has that in Erev, and Tosfos has it over here. That's like a mainstream shita among Rishonim. Whatever is the Oraisa, you have to be machmir on. Whatever is the Rabbanon, you're not machmir on. Now this idea can explain another issue. In Simin Ayin Hey, we learn that you have to do melicha on the eggs. These eggs that are found in the chicken, you have to salt them. Now, the Rama over there writes in Simen Ayin Hey that if it's an egg that does not have a shell, the shell did not yet grow on it, so you're allowed to salt it together with meat. But if it's an egg that had a shell, you should not salt it with meat. But b'diyevet, if you did salt it with meat, it's okay. The idea over here goes like this, that when I do melicha, the salt has the ability to be maflit and mavliya, no? So the salt is going to pull the blood out of the meat. But the blood will come out of the meat. Let's say I salt a few pieces of meat together. The blood's going to come out of the meat. Shouldn't the blood go back in? So the halacha is that since it's tridi lemiflat lo bola, once you can't do two processes at once. When you're spitting out the dam can't come back in. If I have an egg that is technically halachically basar, so if it's basar, it requires melicha. If it requires melicha, I'm allowed to salt it with other meat, because the egg is also going to be expelling blood. However, if I have an egg that's only a chumra ba'alma to salt it, if I have an egg that's fundamentally a pariv egg, it's an egg with a klipa chitzaina on it, then I should not salt it with meat. Because if I salt it with meat, what's going to happen is this egg is not really expelling any dam. If it's not expelling any dam, I have to be worried that the dam from the meat will go into the egg. By the way, if you read the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe by us, you see that discussion about whether you're allowed to salt the egg together with the meat. Right? The Befeirish on the page, like they're mamish no chidushim, right? Mamish no chidushim. Everything is Befeirish on the page. Now, our practice is that we salt the egg even when it is a complete egg. Right? Even when it's a beitza that has a chelbone, and a klipa chitzaina, we still salt it. Just you should not salt it with anything else. Why? What? You should not salt it with other meat.
All eggs
that are found in a... We don't salt all eggs. We only salt eggs that are found in the chicken at the shechita. Now, what's the pshat in this minig that we salt the egg when it's a complete egg? L'cha'ora me'ikar hadin, the complete egg is not basar. If it's not basar, why are we salting it? So teretz is that we're worried that maybe since the blood is a din d'oraisa, so maybe for dinim d'oraisa, we're not so convinced that we should treat the egg like it's pariv. Maybe for dinim d'oraisa, we have to be machmir to treat like it's fleishik, and that's why we do malicha on it, even when it's a beitza gemura mamish. That's a chor which should emerge. But that itself is very difficult, because then it's going to be against the Mishnah in Idyos. No? Because the Mishnah in Idyos says, according to Beis Hillel, a beitzas nevela, when it's a kemoha nimkeres b'shuk, that beitza is not a beitzas nevela. So for a din d'oraisa even, we don't treat it. So what, I don't know the pshat in this minhag that they salt the beitza gemura lechatchila. Right? What's the pshat in that minhag that they salt the beitza gemura lechatchila? Rav Soloveitchik writes that he thinks it's based on the fact that it's the oraisa. Right, this is in the Shi'urei Harav, page 190. Va'ani lo hevanti esza, because Beitzas Nevela is also Dairaisa, and yet Kamoya Nimkeres Meshuk we're make on. No? I also don't understand it, because the Beis Yosef by us tells me that melicha on eggs is for sure not a din da'iraisa. The type of dam that's found in the eggs is going to be the equivalent of dam evarim shelo pirish. And that dam that's found in eggs, right, for sure is derabbanon. So I have no idea, or I have no understanding of what the heck the Rav meant in that piece on page 190. Ben Keen, Shlita.
Perhaps the joke is that if you're going to asa the egg, then you're being maxed, but there's no hefset when you just salt it. If you say it's a salt egg.
And no, you're saying that if I'm mako, maybe. I mean, so that's a different shot. In other words, I don't understand the rose shot. You're giving a different shot.
I'm saying if it's the right hand, there's no hefta.
Perhaps, but the practice came that we sort the eggs. Now, how come b'di'eved it doesn't answer if you sort an egg with the meat? Right, a complete egg. An egg has chomon, chobon, and a klipa chitzona. If I salt it with meat, right, that should become usher, because nothing is coming out of the egg. So, if you look in the shach, there in Ayin Hey, the shach has one approach, that maybe the egg is also expelling something. It's not expelling a dam, but it's expelling some liquid. Now, do you ever salt an egg and it becomes like wet? It's a good thing for breakfast, by the way. You take an egg, you dip it in salt, you eat it, it's gewaltig. No? You salt an egg. I teach you important things. So you salt an egg, there's going to be some liquid that comes out of it. It might not be dam, but there is some liquid. One could argue, says the Shach, that maybe once some liquid is coming out, maybe it won't be Bileya. Alternatively, the Shach maintains in Ayin Hey that maybe the Klipa itself, all the Bliya from the meat will go to the Klipa, and the Klipa itself is going to become Treif, but it won't get into the egg itself. Ah. Now, the Shach and the Taz there in Ayin Hey both quote a Maharshal. The Maharshal says that you should never salt eggs with meat. Right? Remember, the Ramah is that if I have an egg that does not have a klipa, I'm allowed to salt it with meat because it's expelling. It's giving stuff up. If I had an egg with a klipa, I should salt it, but not with meat. The Shach and the Taz, Kof and Maharshal, that you should never salt an egg with meat. Because, right, the egg that's found in the chicken, right, we have to say, never salt it with meat. Why not? Says the Maharshal of the Rav Pashat, eggs don't have blood in it. Melicha is done to remove the blood. There is no blood in the egg. If there's no blood in the egg, so then you don't have to salt it, ki hu zeh. There's zero. What?
Even if it's just a
chalmon? Even. So, even if it's just a chalmon, right? You don't have to salt it. There's no dam there. That's what the Maharshal says. Now, there might have been some meaning that developed. We salt it, but for sure you shouldn't salt it with anything else because it's not expelling any dam. Right? Because eggs don't have dam in it. Now this issue actually is really a machlekes between the Rashba and the Ra'ah in the Torah Habayis / Bedek Habayis, no? If you look over there on page Ayin Hey Amud Beis in Shar Gimel, Perek Gimel, so the Rashba writes, and this is how we assume in Shulchan Aruch, the Rashba writes that if the egg is not yet a developed egg, so therefore, the egg that's not yet developed, says the Rashba, is basar. And if it's basar, it requires melicha. The Ra'ah jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels. The Ra'ah says, what the heck are you salting an egg for? There's no dam in the egg. No? Normal eggs don't have blood. Then there's no dam in the egg, so why are you salting it? So this issue, this machlokes between the Mechaber and the Maharshal, is really a machlokes about whether we assume that there's a halacha that you have to sort anything that's dealing like a basar, Or do I say, no, if it's basar that doesn't have dam in it, there is zero inyan to sort a kihuzen. Comes up in Shulchan Aruch, stuff like this, no? They're parts of the animal, like the b'nei me'ayin. B'nei me'ayin are like the intestines of the animal, no? Parts of the animal have no dam. Do you have to salt it? It's basar without dam. The Ra'ah says, I have an often araya from that halacha that you don't have to salt the b'nei me'ayin. Then just because it has a din basar, right, doesn't mean that there is dam. So we could potentially be mechalik between the shame basar le'inyin eating with chalav and the shame basar regarding the inyan of melicha. Even though the mechaber, the Rashba equates them, but the Ra'ah over there disagrees, and the Maharshal Paskin is like the Ra'ah, not like the Rashba. Another way of slicing the shame basar is shame basar enough to make something fleishig? Now, when I talk about being fleishig, there are two inyan of being fleishig. Simon Pezayin Sif, hey, what we're learning now is talking about being fleishig in terms of eating this egg with meat. What about being fleishig, eating this egg with cheese, right, with milk? What about being fleishig in terms of once I eat the egg, do I have to wait 6 hours? So there's a last line here in the Mechaber. The Mechaber writes, "Em ochlam bifnei atzmam mutar lachal achareihem gvin l'chalav." If you eat eggs, you don't have to wait 6 hours, no? And the Shach comments, even if the egg only has a complete chalmon, you don't have to wait 6 hours. The implication from the Shach is that let's say you have a teeny tiny egg that doesn't even have a complete chalmon, then it's mamish bus and you have to wait. No? Am I reading the Shach correctly? The Shach in Os Yud Beis. The Shach writes, "Afilim he meur madayim be'eshkol." Still, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Kehu baruches chayim. U'mashma afilu lo nigmar ela hachelmon. V'gam heim meurois be'eshkol mutar lechol achareihem gevino cholov. Right? If only the chelmon is complete. In other words, the Shach already told us that b'di eved makayim hefsin meruba, we can rely on Rashi that once the chalmon is complete, it is not fleishig. No? What, for purposes of waiting 6 hours, we rely on the most meko shita in our previous conversation, which is shitas Rashi. Because waiting 6 hours, But fundamentally, the shachot is a type of egg that you'd have to wait 6 hours for. Dahainu, if the egg does not yet have a complete chamon. Am I reading the shach correctly? Mr. David, how are you? I mean, Mr. Mandelbaum. I just called you by your first name. Whatever. You'll forgive me.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
I mean, is it even
So, it's the first step. Remember, the chalmon can begin to develop, but it's not nigmar yet. Right? Again, I'm not a bucky in egg development, but it seems, l'cha'ira, that it grows, the yolk keeps on growing, at some point the yolk is nigmar. The Shach is saying that until the yolk is nigmar, it's going to be a 6 hour zach. And this, l'cha'ira, is questionable. Because what the Shach is assuming is that fundamentally you can have an egg that you'd have to wait 6 hours for, just we rely on the most mekel shita about what's considered a beitza gemura. We rely on Rashi shita for hamtana. The Badei HaShulchan over here quotes opinions in Sifkatin Ayin, that the Yad Yehuda tainas that even if it's lo nigmar hachelmon, even if the yolk is not yet complete, you don't have to wait 6 hours. The Hezbra, the Yad Yehuda, is that something could have a din basar without having tainas basar. You see, we are basically defining what meat is, and we're using eggs as a way of defining meat. So we spoke about, well, just because it's meat, does that mean that there's dam? Now, just because it's meat, does that mean that you have to wait? The svara to have to wait between basar and kolam, the pashat svara is that it's moshech tam. That the basar, right, leaves a flavor. Does eggs ever leave a flavor? Do eggs ever taste like meat? Eh. Come on. Right? Eggs taste like eggs. Meat tastes like meat. That's pashat.
It still leaves a flavor, though.
Speak louder?
It still leaves a flavor, though.
It still has a flavor, but it's not. So you're saying that that's considered meishach tam, but if it's a din of basar.
Think about a chicken, right? There's dark meat and there's white meat and there's, I don't know, tongue or brain, whatever it is, and they all taste differently. So if you're saying it's a shame halos basar, then whatever that taste of that basar is, I would think.
I think that's what the shach would say, l'cha'ora, but one could argue that it still is not pashut, right? Because push comes to shove, it doesn't have the same. If the idea is that the tam of basar is mamshech, right? So there's no meshichas tam on eggs. It doesn't stay in your mouth for a long time. Maybe chicken does stay in your mouth for a long time. No? I don't know. Right? We'll have to talk about that when we pay test. But what should emerge from this? What should emerge from this is that there's room to be cholek on the shach, like the Badei HaShulchan quotes, based on the fact that maybe this is a shame basar without tam basar. Now, the more interesting discussion over here relates to the Simen Pei Vav conversation, which comes up in the Taz Sivkat in Vav and in the Shach Sivkat in Tes. The halacha is that if it's hika tarnigoyles al znava, let's say, right, an animal while it's alive is tricked, eivah min hachi. Hika tarnigoyles al znava, if I hit a chicken and that forces the chicken to lay an egg, so in that case, the din is that the egg is usar, it's like eiver, minachai, basar minachai, whatever it is. That's, so the Taz and the Shaf both ask Akasha, how come we're not machalik over there and say, once it's a beitza gemura, it is going to be okay? Right? For our purposes, by basar b'cholav, we say once it's a beitza gemura, however I define it, it's pariv, it's not connected to the chicken, so why don't they say that when it's hika tarnigoyles al znava? So the Shah quotes, well, maybe there's a difference between d'oraisa and d'rabbanan, no? That the din of eiver menachai, basar menachai is a d'oraisa. Over here we're make only because basar oif b'cholav is d'rabbanan. Like the Taisa said on Daf Vavam, the base of Beitza. The Taz, for some reason, says, Ein l'chalik, or Menale l'chalik, kach, no? Such a difficult line in the Taz. Now you understand why Rav Salfik Chick didn't like learning Taz. Menale l'chalik is enough in the Taisvis. What's the Taz saying? Right? I mean, in fact, that's like the most pashat answer. Difference between D'Raisa and D'Rabbonan. The Shach Lemaisa, when all is said and done, the Shach has an answer which I think is really interesting. The Shach's answer is, in our sugya, we're questioning whether it's Dino Kibasar or not. But the Dinim of Eivar Menachai, Basar Menachai, have nothing to do with that, whether it has a Shein Basar. Anything that comes out of a Chai should be Asar. The Gemara at the beginning of Bechairis discusses that maybe milk should be traded out eiver menachai because it comes out of a live animal, no? It doesn't have to be basar to be eiver menachai. Right? Anything that's yotzei menachai is tamei, is treif. So we have a pasuk by cholov that it's kosher. The Torah writes, Eretz zavas cholov udvash. Even though the cholov in that pasuk has nothing to do with cow milk, nonetheless, it's good enough to be makel. The Rabbeinu Tam is very bothered by the kasha. What's the heter to eat eggs? So he says, yeah, maybe there's some other psukim about eggs, that we learn eggs from Basayana, stuff like that. Maybe there's some other psukim about eggs, and that's why eggs in general are kosher. But it's not kosher, then egg should be kosher. Because an egg should be also out to Eber Menachayim. If that's the case, what the Taz is saying, what the Shach, excuse me, is saying, is that with respect to our sugya, so we're clearing whether the egg is dinai kebasar. And then I say, once it's a complete egg, it's not dinai kebasar. But, even if it's a complete egg, who says it's going to be mutter out Eber Menachayim? Right? It should still be kshreif out Eber Menachayim. And that's why in Simen Pei Vav, by Hikotar Negoilas Haznava, that's why we assume that it's going to be Osir in that case. Ad kan divrei hashach. I saw in the Pisrei Chuvis I have by my seat that he argues that maybe the din of Hikotar Negoilas Haznava is not only if you hit a chicken, but any time you have a chicken that has some disease, and that's why it's laying eggs. In other words, if it's laying eggs prematurely, for whatever the reason, the egg is going to be treif. That's already...
That's basically
what? Would that consider a beis nevela? That would be considered a beis nevela. That's what he assumes, yeah. Now, I should note that the Pisrei Tshuva over here in Sifkat Yud Beis points out that when we say that a beitza she'ena gemura might be fleisher, that's only when the beitza is found inside the chicken. Let's say a shechta chicken, or let's say, excuse me, the chicken lays an egg. Right? It's a live chicken that lays an egg, but it's a beitza she'ena gemura, the egg is still packed. No? Once it was laid lechayim, that's what Pesachei Tshuva points out in Sivkatin Yud.
Okay.
So, this is basically all I have to say about the sugya of eggs. It's a technical sugya. Well, how many guys are going to be away next week after Rosh Hashanah? Only one. Not sure. I'd like to say Shira next week. In other words, the notion of having a Sarasim Yeshuva without, like, Talmud Torah, like, it kind of is repugnant. Just saying, right? So, we never will have Shir. I think Wednesday is Tzom Gedalia. I might try to say a Shir on Wednesday. If not, we'll just say Shir on Thursday of Asayas Yom Tshuva. And then, what Yom Kippur is on Wednesday? Tuesday night, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Right, so I might want to say Shir on, I don't know if I'll be able to say on Sunday. But I might want to say Shira on Thursday and on Monday.
Oh, this following.
What's
the deal with this Sunday?
What's the Sunday?